Hello and welcome to the Allegro Podcast. In today's episode, I talk to Colin and Brian Bowler. Colin and Brian are both cross-country and track runners at Delbarton School in New Jersey. This fall, they'll both be headed down to Princeton University to continue their academic and athletic careers. Just to give a quick breakdown on each of the Bowlers' impressive running accomplishments, this past indoor season, Colin ran 4:04 in the mile and 1:50 in the 800. Brian ran 4:11 for the 16 as well as 9:11 for the 3200. Colin and Brian both capped off their indoor seasons with an impressive performance with their teammates in the DMR at New Balance Nationals, where they got second in the nation. In today's episode, we talk about Colin and Brian's high school running journeys, the best places to run in New Jersey, running and studying at Princeton next year, professional track, and much more. Hope you all enjoy. Allegro. Allegro. All right, thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode of the Allegro Podcast. To start off, can you guys please introduce yourself and, you know, tell me a little bit about your running journeys?
You can go first.
All right, I'm Colin Bowler. I go to Delbarton School in Morristown, New Jersey, and I hail from Madison, New Jersey. And I'm running at Princeton University next fall. My running journey, I guess, has been like a little bit unorthodox. I started off as like a sprinter, kind of like freshman year, like doing indoor track. And then my other big thing was lacrosse. And obviously COVID happened, so I didn't have either spring track or my freshman lacrosse season. And I kind of continued on the lacrosse like progression all the way until spring of my sophomore year, and then that's when I made the transition to track. And then ever since then, I've just been just like all track and just enjoying like every moment of it. And yep, that's where I am today, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm Brian, Colin's identical twin. I'm also, you know, from the Barton in Madison. As you'd expect, I had a similar journey as Colin. I actually, we played soccer freshman year. I know a lot of runners started out as soccer players, and that was kind of us as well. And then COVID happened, and I actually did a little bit of training on my own during COVID. I would play lacrosse and then run a little on the side. That's when we kind of fell in love with it. And then, you know, we decided to go all in on track spring of sophomore year, and I guess the rest is history.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. I mean, you guys talked about being from Delbarton. I mean, Delbarton has that tradition of athletic success. I was actually talking to someone from, like, Colorado the other day, and he knows about Delbarton. So, I mean, especially in the area here, you know, Morgan Pearson, Colorado Buffalo legend. I mean, yesterday, Randolph guy, Patrick Glory, won NCAA's wrestling, which is crazy. You know, what's it like being a runner? I mean, you guys can go running, student athlete, whatever you want. How's that like at Delbarton?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's awesome. It's like, I take it for granted every single day. The campus is beautiful. Like the you know, the athletics are great, you know, but I think the thing I take for granted the most is just the people. The people at the Barton are what make it what it is. And I know you just rattle off a list of like legends, but like there's legends there right now. And getting to see these people every single day, there's just a culture of people who always want to push each other, you know, to be the best they can. And that's kind of like what the Barton is.
Yeah. And going off like the tradition they have with like distance runners, especially
Morgan Pearson,
Pat Shelburne, yeah. Morgan Pearson. We both, like, everyone on our team like looks up to them, and they all give back. Like, for example, like Pearson, he's come in like to give like a talk to our cross country team in the past, which was like amazing, and I took away like a lot of stuff from that talk.
Yeah.
And then like beyond that, like he showed up to practices and like we've done like long runs with him at like River Road and stuff. And he's just like a huge.
I've seen the Strava segments, like Morgan Pearson's on there sometimes.
Yeah. We went on a long run at River Road on Christmas Eve. And I think it was like the real feel was like in the negatives. It was really cold. Yeah. It was crazy. There was like a bunch of people who showed up and Morgan was there and we got to run like, you know, 12 miles with him, which is pretty sweet. And then Pat Shelberg too. He reaches out all the time. He's super cool as well. So I think like that, it has a really big community and that's what makes Delby so special.
That's sick. Yeah. Especially just for like, I mean, you'd expect that in college, like, because like obviously college programs are bigger, but for high school, that's really sick. That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, we touched on some like legends in the sport. But I'm just curious, when you guys were underclassmen in high school and even now, do you guys look up to any specific runners, they could be other high school runners, collegiate athletes, or even pros. Curious to hear about that.
A big guy for me that's a pro runner right now, besides Morgan Pearson, obviously, is Eric Holt.
Holtmania.
My coach was roommates with him, and that's like kind of how I have like met him and I've known him. But beyond my connections with him, like his mentality, like going into races and like his post race interviews, like just make him like so special. I feel like. Like he has like uncompromising belief in himself that I've like never seen in a runner to that extent, and that's something I want to embody like whenever I like toe the line. And he's definitely like the best runner like I look up to. And then other than him, there's like a few others, like pretty much all the Coffee Club guys. Those guys are like, the whole On team is pretty great. Just like a bunch of other like. We think as far as high school,
sorry, go ahead.
No, all you go.
I mean, no, I was just thinking when I was like, I mean, I'm 1 year older than you guys, but like for me, it was like, you know, Devin Hart, Jack Stanley, especially like the New Jersey guys, like Jennings, all of these guys, crazy.
Oh, I remember when I was a sophomore, like, I made like meet the champs in the 800 and I saw like Nick Medeiros like win the whole thing. I actually saw him like I think last fall and he's a great guy, but yeah, he was definitely like a huge inspiration.
Sure. Yeah, I think in the past watching like the mile and especially the 3200 battles between like some NJ legends has been like inspiring. I think it's been inspiring for all of New Jersey.
Yeah, totally.
I know like every single year there's pretty much a really good matchup in especially the 3200. And watching, you know, Barna and Langan, that's always a great rivalry. I think Barna versus Braddock that was pretty cool too. It's just like New Jersey is so underrated. As you can tell from March Madness, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson, Princeton, St. Peter's, we're just underrated and we pull it off. There's so much talent in Jersey.
Sydney McLaughlin too. You know, I think Mo, everyone.
Crazy.
I think Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legends. Yeah, that's awesome. You guys first said Eric Holt. I remember watching his like Monmouth Mile when he first, I think it was his first time breaking 4 a few years ago. Was sick. He was also in New Jersey. And then, all of his like trials of miles wins and everything. So fun to follow.
He always has a chip on his shoulder. It's so fun to
watch. He's also had a crazy progression. To the point where people think he's doping. Like I think if you get to that point, I think you know like you're doing something well. People think you're doping.
Yeah, for sure. When you got all the Let's Run threads on you.
Let's Run
haters.
Just like another thing, I guess, touching on the New Jersey subject. What's your guys' favorite place in New Jersey? And if you want to go even more specific, like Morris County to run.
Yeah, totally. I think for Morris County, I really like Patriots Path. We hit that up a lot. Yeah. And then as far as New Jersey, I think it has to go to River Road.
I haven't gone. I got to go.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing. Go to River Road, it's like the distance running mecca.
We were actually there this morning.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think Manasquan Res and Columbia Trail are both like probably 2-3. Those are
Columbia Trail. Ones. Yeah. Have you guys been to the you know where Roxbury Invitational is? There's a nice trail, like the trail right yeah, by it. It's like coach, Columbia, but it's
My coach like was telling me about that. I gotta hit that up like next time. I think next time I do.
Yeah. Because especially like I guess Madison, right? Like it's probably, I don't know exactly how far Columbia Trail is from there, but for me, I'm like Morris Plains, Morristown area. Like Roxbury is so close, so it's like
Definitely closer than Columbia for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but Columbia is nice. And then Manasquan and River Road, those are two places I've heard so much. I mean, I had the podcast started like 3 years ago with like Devin, Liam Murphy and all of them. They're talking about it, Manasquan. So I'm like, I got to go there now. I can't delay it now.
Yeah, man.
It's definitely worth it. Especially River Road. Like, you got to go to River Road if you're a New Jersey runner. It's the Mecca.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so now I kind of want to break down some of the seasons that you guys have had. I mean, I was in high school for a lot of these seasons, so I was on the starting line for some of these races as well, for like some of those cross-country Greystone meets and everything. But I mean, first I want to start off with a while ago, that cross-country season after that COVID lockdown, when Brian, you were on like a total tear, just like, it was like, I feel like you emerged onto like the Morris County cross-country scene and like, what was that like? Just like starting your, like, I guess your New Jersey, your running career off with a bang. I don't know if that would be like, you'd consider that like the start, but like, what was that like that whole season?
Yeah, that was pretty fun. That was when I first decided to like, you know, give running a go. We decided not to try out again for soccer. And I don't think Colin did cross country that year, but I trained over the summer and I was having a lot of fun. I was actually still playing lacrosse. I remember over the summer I would do my 9 mile long run in the morning and then I would go play like 4 games of lacrosse. Wow. In a tournament or something, but it was super fun. It was a weird season because of COVID. So my coach just told me to, you know, take every race, not take any races for granted. And I went out there and the plan was to just, you know, have fun and win. And shout out to, like, I remember there were some great runners out in there were some great runners in Morris County at the time. It was super fun. I never really – the one person I didn't get to race that season who I wanted to was Adam Angelone.
Because he had the different, like, batches.
Yeah, they had a weird, like, setup where they had NJAC separated. And we ran pretty close times, but we never got to go head-to-head. And then I was having a lot of fun that season. I was doing pretty well. And then it was pretty funny. I was running Garrett Mountain like by myself and I was trying to figure out the course. And I was like using my phone to like see where it was. And that place is kind of like a maze. So I was looking down and then all of a sudden I take a wrong step and I hear a pop and I I break my ankle like straight through. I broke the growth plate too. It was pretty bad. So that was the end to like the start of my sophomore year. But then I think that's kind of when I learned how to cross train. I went crazy on the bike. My dad has a Peloton bike. And he also, my dad swam in college. So I would race him on the Peloton bike. We'd try to get like higher scores. And then also, he would give me swimming workouts in the pool. So that was pretty fun as well. But yeah, that first sophomore season, it was like, I didn't really understand like running, but I just went out there and like competed and it was a ton of fun and that got me hooked.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I want to touch on that cross training a little bit later because like I'm always impressed by people like who just like get super fit, like just off of the bike, swimming. It's always super impressive. Like I've been lucky so far not like getting any like serious injuries like that. But it's always like super, like I'm on the like club team at Georgia Tech right now. And some of my friends, they're just grinding in the, like our campus gym, elliptical, all this stuff. It's crazy to see. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, flashing forward a bit, to actually like a few seasons, just a super specific race I came across while like prepping for this a little bit, the Mountie Invitational. I heard this quote, I was reading an article, and Colin said, "My main goal was to get Brian through the race." So, I mean, that's just a super specific thing, but I think you were pacing Brian or something like that. But I'm curious to hear, like, I mean, obviously we have Lex, Leo, Young, and like the high school scene now, but can you guys talk a little bit about that whole brother, like, training, racing, the how that whole relationship is? Because that's like super sick. Like, when you think about it, like, you guys are, I mean, from the outside perspective, you guys can train together, racing together. Like, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, one of the biggest pros, obviously, like, we always have someone to like you said, like, train with, like, compete with, and like, within the actual races too, which is kind of nice. Like, it's almost like you have like a teammate, like you're playing Fortnite duos. I don't know, and everyone else is playing solos. Like, if that makes any sense. But we can like, sometimes we can like come up with tactics. We can come up with tactics. Like, I think one race, like, for that Mountie race, for example, like I just took him through in like 312 or something for the 1200. But
it was like 316.
Oh, whatever.
It was weird. That's what I was aiming for. It was funny how he paced it. He brought it through in like, I just remember the last lap of his pacing 1200 was a 60. So that was funny.
Yeah.
But like, shout out to him for pacing me on that day.
It was funny that day. Like, I stopped and everyone was screaming at me in the stands, like, keep going, you got one more lap.
Yeah.
Oh, and like, I was hopping off, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, just like going off what Colin said, just like having someone to push you, it unlocks so much more potential in you if you're, you know, you have someone who has, you know, the same DNA as you, does like pretty much the same training. You just like know where, you know, you have someone, you have like someone to measure yourself against. And I would say like we have a healthy level of competitiveness.
Unless it's ping pong.
Yeah, ping pong gets crazy. But like, you know, like two really competitive people, and we both of us never want to lose. And I think if we take that and like we work together, especially like just pacing it, like having someone running, like running with someone, like whether it's a long run or a track workout or whatever it is, having someone with you, even if it's not your identical twin, having someone with you makes it go by so much faster.
Yeah, I totally feel that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like, even like in races, having him next to me or whatever, it gives you a sense of confidence, and it's something that I take for granted. And it's a really cool aspect of like having a twin.
Nope.
Totally. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, like, just speaking on from the twin side of things, like just running with people, it's just such a, like, just 10x is the whole thing. Awesome. That's sick.
For sure.
Again, so I think this is the same season as the Mountie Invitational. The like the whole 2022 championship season. Wait, Mountie was last spring? Was that last spring?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. So that whole championship season, I remember you guys just used to, like, I think Colin specifically, I remember you just running like every race there was, like doubling back.
Yeah, that was not up to me, that was up to my coach, but it was crazy, yeah. He had us doing every race under the sun, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear a little bit about that, like just the thought process for doing that, or like, I guess the team, or I guess probably the team was in mind for that. But then also, like, when you look at that, like running a bunch of races, I guess that's probably really good prep for college, right? With the prelims and everything, running rounds. How did you, first of all, like, what went behind the scenes for that? And also, like, how did you like recover? What mindset wise that you had like all these races in your legs? What was the behind the scenes for that?
Yeah, the big thing for me, I just wanted to go out there and score points for my team, you know, like basically do what my coaches said. And I think it definitely like prepared me for, I think it was like the final week when we had like MOCs, like 5 days. I had MOC on one day and then nationals the next day. I think it prepared me for like that with like the back-to-back racing, like you said, like the rounds. But yeah. There's definitely like pros and cons to like all the racing I did. We got to go like really far as a team. I think we won Morris County, which was just huge. That was like our big team goal. But also, like you said, like it does a lot of damage to your body. And actually this indoor season, I tried to limit like the amount of the number of races I did like significantly. Like since we didn't have like some of the weapons we had last year, especially in the field events, or at least not to the extent as last year. So team titles weren't like always like in the front of our minds. So this indoor season, I tried to do like when it came to group and meet the champs, I only did one race. I only focused on the 800 rather than the double I did last year, which was nice because you kind of get to control the efforts more than just racing like every single race under the sun like I did last spring. So hopefully I'm going to see what my coaches say, but that's definitely something I'm going to try and advocate for is just doing a tiny bit less racing, but and just putting more emphasis on like each individual race. But I we'll see though. Totally.
Yeah. You see that like in high school, we're just racing so much, and then college, like it's like four races a season sometimes. People open up in conference. It's like it's totally different. Just seeing it. And then pros like Grant, like I can think of like I can think of every race he ran in the season, like last season, like the 10K. Like it's so different. Like like as you're moving up, just the amount of times you're racing is so less. But I can definitely see like there's probably benefits for running a ton too.
I would say it gets you like doing doubles and triples and quadruples and even five races sometimes.
It can get you
fit like really fast. Yeah. I know, like for me, like this last part of the season, I like pretty much didn't do any workouts. I just like raced and did easy runs because like I was kind of coming off an injury. And I think like racing, like doing doubles and stuff, it's kind of like a mini workout. Or like a big workout if you're doing a lot of races. So I think as long as you can stay healthy and like take one race at a time, don't like look at the whole day. Just take like one race and go as hard as you can in that one race and then focus on the next race after. As long as you can do that, it gets you pretty fit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, compartmentalizing those races. Sure. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. Totally.
And then like you're saying, my bad.
No, go ahead.
Like you're saying with like the college when you only do four races, I think one thing we're also trying to do is just kind of enjoy like every single race because we're not going to have that opportunity in college, obviously, with like maybe like four races a season. So I think that's definitely something that's pretty fun, like just chilling with your teammates, having fun. So that's definitely a big emphasis.
Yeah, Drew Relays never gets old.
Man.
Yeah. Around the Drew Turns, I did like four or five races that day. But it's just fun, like just you know, kind of memeing in those races.
Oh my gosh, I'd have bad my Drew senior season was just so like weird. Like I got like Saucony Endorphin Pros, like running warehouse, so I was just like racing in those, so it's just like that season was just so weird.
I know.
Those Drew meets, that they go hard. Yeah, always got to remember those.
Yeah.
I mean, going forward one season, you know, to this last cross season, I guess this is a super niche question, but you guys both have had some serious success at Greystone. What's the key to a good Greystone race?
You know, actually, Jack Jennings, he let us in on a little secret when we were at our Villanova official visit. He told us that the second half of the course is like, or the latter half of the course is so slow, like you can't really compensate unless you go out like lights out, like guns blazing in the beginning. So that's what we did. I think Ryan went through in like 4:20. I don't even know what he did.
Basically, in the race where Colin set the record, I just tried to drop him like every single step of the race from the gun. I just went balls to the wall right from the start. I think I went through in like 4:25 for the first mile.
Yeah.
And then we went through in like, I don't even know, like 9:10 through the 2 mile.
Yeah.
And then I eventually kind of died and Colin caught me. Yeah. But like, that's how you got to run it. If you want to run fast at Greystone, you just got to go as hard. What Jack Jennings had told us was like, sprint the first 2 miles.
Yeah.
So like, if you really want to go hard, if you really want to go fast, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Definitely agree. Yeah, Greystone's like
15.
Greystone's like, I don't know if you're at Greystone, you see like, I'm like a 2 mile run away. So it's like, it's my home course basically. So always running long runs there and everything. So dude, that course is painful. Like, I mean, Homedale is also crazy, but like that last mile never gets old.
Homedale is fun because it's like, it's kind of the opposite of Greystone where like the first, once you get past like the halfway mark, it's pretty much all downhill. Mm-hmm. So I'd say like Homedale and Greystone are kind of opposites, but they're both pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys consider Greystone a fast course? Cause I was talking to some of the CBA kids like during running camp one year and they were like, yeah, Greystone, we go there for like to NJCTC, run those fast times. I'm like, I mean, we run like some fast times, but like, I don't know if it's
CTC fast is enough. Greystone. That course is fast. But I'd say Greystone's
What'd you say?
CTC's isn't at Greystone.
It might have used to be.
Where's it now?
I think it's at like the Thompson Park or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I've had a lot of memories at Greystone.
I'd say it's like medium difficulty because like the first half is like pretty fast and then the second half is pretty tough. So I think it balances out and it's like right in the middle, I'd say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very low difficulty, but yeah, definitely up there. Yeah.
Is Homedale the Homedale hardest course, you'd say?
I would say Homedale is like, Homedale is kind of like the pinnacle of New Jersey running. That's kind of, it's like, I'd say Homedale is probably the hardest.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, even like just running there on easy runs, like that first mile, like just that hill going up by the playground, that itself.
Yeah, man, you're like gassed.
Yeah, you're feeling lactic after like 400 meters.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so I mean, I guess we'll go to this past indoor season just ended, I guess, last week. Crazy races, you guys popped off in the DMR and the mile. I'm curious to hear what was the mindset going into this indoor season for the team and for you guys individually. Can you guys talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So for me, as some of you guys might know, my cross country season did not go as planned. I got really, really sick right before groups. I think Colin recovered a little better than me. But I think I woke up in the morning of groups and I had a 103 fever and I was like, okay. I was telling my coach, he asked if I wanted to run it, and I told him we ball, and that was my mentality. Cross country season, like long story short, it ended on a pretty low note. Neither of us like achieved our goals. Like obviously going into the season, we wanted to, you know, qualify for one of those like championship races at Champs or Nike. You know, shit kind of happened and like, you kind of have to roll with it. So we wanted to avenge that last season, but also just have a lot of fun because like it's our last season. Indoor so fun because it's like, yeah, like the training sucks, but like the actually racing, it's just there's so much vibes. Matter where you are, whether it's Tom's River or Ocean Breeze or the Armory or New Balance, like there's so many cool venues and like so many fun races. So just like, you know, go hard and have fun. That was my mentality.
Yeah, same here. I came in like Brian, like kind of with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I didn't like how cross country ended. I kind of just wanted to go in with no regrets. Just to try to take every race by the horns and just try to give it my all and just kind of relish this last senior indoor season, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I guess we'll talk specifically about, you know, New Balance, because that's just in the front of everyone, you know, running's a short-term memory sport. But yeah, so you guys had the DMR at New Balance. Can you talk about that? Was the DMR like the big relay race that you guys were going for? I know some schools go for that. Was DMR the big race?
We're going on our calendars, yeah.
Yeah.
I still want to talk for you're the first leg.
Yeah, so I was the first leg. It was weird. I don't want to make excuses, but definitely running this season with like I had like a stress reaction, and I was kind of running through it during races, and it was weird because like running when you're injured, it kind of takes a lot of fun out of the sport. But I, you know, doing it for your team and like having doing it for something bigger than yourself, always like gives you a higher motivation. And for us, we really wanted to get the national championship. And the first leg, I just put it on the line. It was like really tactical. It was funny because like the light. So basically, the people at Crater Oregon, they told the directors to put the lights at 3 flat, and then they changed it to like 3:06, and they wanted to change it back to 3 flat, but it didn't work because once you set it, you can't reset it.
Is that your first time with lights?
Yeah, that was the first time with the lights. It was like cool. It was a little bit annoying if the lights are slow, but yeah. It's still like so cool. My first leg was just like the goal was just to get out and like put the team in a good position. And then Colin, he closed like an animal. That was crazy. He really did most of the work. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I got the baton like a little bit behind. I think I was like 7 seconds or 8 seconds from the leader. And I kind of like – I probably went out a little bit too fast. I went out in like 56 seconds for the first 100.
Did you guys see the Drew Hunter race, like the Penn Relays thing? Like,
viral video? No,
I've seen that on YouTube. Latin Valley, Penn Relays.
Was that like a 1v1?
Yeah, like Jack Salisbury got it.
Yeah,
he got it like the stick a bunch like, super early, and then Drew got it, and then – he ran like a 3:58 or something on there, something really fast. You gotta watch the video after this. It's sick.
Yeah, I will for sure. Yeah, and then so I was feeling a little bit lactic after that first 400, but I like made up a decent amount of gap, and I was just trying to close on like Crater the whole time, and I ran out of real estate a little bit. The guy in front of me split 4:07, I split like 4:03, so I think maybe if I paced it a little bit better, we could have like come away with the championship, but I guess we'll have to wait until Penn Relays, and hopefully we can. That's where we're like focused on right now.
Yeah, but. And I want to say like we actually hung out with the Crater boys a lot in the following days, and they're all super cool guys.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he ran Tyrone ran 13:56.
Tyrone's crazy. Yeah,
he ran. He must have been like I don't even know. He must have been jogging that horse, and if he went 13:56 the next day,
he's crazy.
Yeah, he's so cool. Shout out Crater.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll race him again. Hopefully,
that's good. Competitive rivalry. That's good.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
That's awesome. So, I mean, you ran 4:03 on the anchor, right? And then for the 16, and then 4:04 earlier that season at BU. What does that say? I mean, for both of you too. Like, what does that say for? You know, the big sub four mark that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it's been every like high schooler's dream like since day one. I think one thing that has helped me this indoor season is I'm gonna try and not focus on the times. I'm just gonna try and focus on getting into big races and then trying to win those. I think that's when the time comes. But if I do, I might like try to do maybe like a little time trial action like with a FAT time, then maybe I'll try to go for like a time, but that's definitely like on my bucket list. I'm sure it's on Brian's too. I think we're gonna try and like win big races, and then hopefully the times everyone's looking for will be the cherry on top. So
I'd say I have a similar mentality where like the number one goal is to win the race, and then after that the time comes. It's kind of funny, like Colin and I, we've kind of been back and forth our like running career. I know lately Collins, he stayed pretty healthy. And shout out to him. Cause like that's really big. And he's been a little bit more fit than me. But like having a twin brother, and like seeing Colin run really fast, I'd say I'm super inspired by that. Cause that shows like, I think his potential is also like really similar to my potential. So every time Colin, you know, rips a really fast race, I get super excited for him, but also like a little bit excited for myself too, because I know if he can do that, I can do that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we do like pretty much the exact same training. So same goes with him. Like when I see him do well, like it's kind of
I think confident. Like it's just like we push each other, but we also like motivate each other.
Definitely. You guys, you said same training. I just thought of this. Any favorite workouts that you guys got? Like, I mean, right by like what's it called? Sunrise Lake. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Any good workouts that you guys like to go out together?
Yeah, I'd say my favorite workout that we did was right before Short Coaches. It was like our first like real workout of the cross country season. And we did we usually don't really like our philosophy is to not really work out that hard and not really run that hard and kind of like save for the rest of the races. So this is like one workout we did that was probably the hardest workout we've done. But it felt really good. It was right before Short Coaches and it was a Michigan, but it was kind of modified. It was like a mile, and then a tempo mile, and then 800 tempo mile, and then 400. And I think the mile was
this a 420?
It was like, it was fast. It was like low 420s. And we were doing that in like trainers and just like pushing each other. And then the tempos, it's a cool workout. Cause when you do, when you're doing the tempo mile right after like a fast mile, it feels like a joke because it's like you're just going so fast and now you're still going fast, but it's not like, you know, 425 pace. So the tempos were probably at like, I don't know, 505, 510. And then the 800 was like 207. And then the 400 was just like fast, like 55 or something. But that was like a super fun workout. We've only really done that like once, but our bread and butter workout is usually, this winter we did a lot of gear change stuff. So like like an example of one workout was like the 30-40, 30-40 800s, where you'd run like a 40-second, 200 and then like a 30-second 200. And then just doing that gets you really, it gets you really, really good at like kind of racing. Cause like if that's simulating a race, when someone like makes a move, you have to cover it.
For sure.
Yeah. So
I don't know if you have a favorite.
No. Workout. Yeah. For me, I think for me, what's been getting me right, this like winter indoor season, I've been doing a lot of like long intervals, but with like 200 meter jog recovery, but the jogs are like moderately fast. Yeah. So I'll do like K's at like 3 flat, like maybe like 6x K at 3 flat with like 200s in between. And then it would feel like just like a normal 6x K workout because like my body has been adapting to like the rest, like just recovering like by jogging. And by the end of it, like you would stop your watch and like it would just feel like normal 6x K. But then you look down and it'd be like a 5.5 mile tempo at like 502 pace. And you're like, oh, wow, that didn't feel like that. But it's just like a sneaky way to like get, I don't know. I feel like it's given me like a lot of like just benefit because I'm like training my body to recover like while I'm like actually moving. So I thought it's definitely, hopefully we're going to continue doing those types of workouts. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
That's solid. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll keep this in, but wait, so who's your coach? Like, do you guys have one coach or like a team of coaches? How does that work?
Yeah, so we got two coaches, Coach Frost and Coach O'Reilly. They're both awesome coaches. Coach Frost, he ran at Binghamton. I think we mentioned him earlier. Yeah. He was like, you know, friends with Eric Colt. He's like a super wise mind. And he knows a ton about running. He actually, it's really cool because he's actually like training. He's training really hard right now himself. So he's like a pretty young guy. So like every now and then he'll even like pace us for some workouts and stuff, which is like not a lot of like runners get that. Having your coach like pace you for like, I don't know, a lap of like a tempo or something.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's super cool. He's super smart. And we have this saying on our team. It's just like in Frost we trust. We basically just trust like Frost. Yeah, trust the Frost dress. That's what it is. And then Coach O'Reilly too. He ran at Boston College. I think it was.
Yeah, I was talking to someone.
Yeah,
Emmett Scully. He made this app Trackster, and he was. I was watching his video. I was talking with him the other day, and he made this video with Morgan Pearson. He was talking about how he knows Pat O'Reilly, which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. He was big friends with Morgan. Yeah. So yeah, Colin Frost and Matt O'Reilly, they're both excellent coaches. Even like they would be, I think they'd be like great college coaches too. Like they're just really smart guys. And we're fortunate enough to have, you know, great coaches. And like without them, like we wouldn't, I don't know, like we wouldn't be anything. So shout out, Coach Frost and Coach O'Reilly.
Yeah. And like Brian was saying, like the fact that like they can pace us in workouts, like, and like do long runs and stuff with us if they want. And like just normal distance runs. I thought it was like pretty cool. And I don't think most people, like even like college people, don't have that. So I think we're definitely like really lucky to be able to have such amazing coaches.
Yeah. And I would say too, they definitely like they hold us back a lot. Like we've wanted to like, you know, go up in mileage or like increase the intensity. But they're really smart and they also have like the long term goals in mind. So they're prioritizing not just like your high school career, but also like your college and future careers too. They don't run guys into the ground or like do super high mileage or super hard workouts.
Yeah.
They're like prioritizing the future, which I think is super, super smart.
Yeah, so. Totally.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you mentioned like the coaches running with you guys. The only other scenario I can think about that is like you guys talked about Coffee Club, you know, Dathan Ritzenhain. That's the only other time. So that's like, Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, I guess, you know, just another topic that I find kind of interesting. In like the college world, you know, we see this thing, this whole thing about NIL. I don't know if you guys ever watched like Ryan Trahan, but there's this, he's like running YouTuber. Now he makes these like crazy viral videos. He was like a running YouTuber and he got like in trouble with the NCAA for like his water bottle company or making YouTube videos and something like that. And then now there's this whole like NIL thing, people partnering with companies. I see what you guys are doing with like Oasis. So I'm curious to hear like, what do you guys think about this whole new wave of like high school running? I guess you could think about it with like partnering with companies, being more involved, like the media side of things. It's just like super interesting to see, like even like last year when I was senior, like super cool to see. So I'm curious to hear about that.
Yeah. So I think it's great for the athletes, like obviously, but I feel like it like adds a whole other layer to competition, which is nice. I think it like beyond like in the college level, I think it will be helpful to the athletes because I think like for Caitlin Tooley, for example, with Adidas, like she's able to like she a lot of people have been pressuring her to like go pro and just like forget about her college eligibility, but like for athletes like that, they're able to stay in college and like get a bag instead of like forfeiting like their pro and maybe like leaving money on the table. So I think that aspect of it is nice, and it, as well as like what you're saying with like letting athletes like pursue like their non like athletic dreams like with YouTube and stuff like that. And then when it comes to Oasis, I think it's like a really great like idea and a great company. They kind of it's like some Haddonfield boys. They had this great idea, and they reached out to a bunch of NJ athletes, and we've been there since day one, and it's so fun like watching them grow and like seeing their products get like better and better and gain more and more reach. You know,
for sure. Like all I can say is I think the NIL stuff. I think it's hashtag good for the sport. It's like pushing the sport. It's a great thing. I applaud it. And then as far as Oasis, like it's just a bunch of like, you know, they're grinders. They just get it done. Like I remember we had this photo shoot for like the Gen 2 drop. They drove out at like 10 p.m. an hour and a half from like Haddonfield, and we met up at a track and put our car lights in like we're running around in like, I don't know, it was like 20 degree weather.
Yeah.
And we were like fighting with lightsabers, but like they hand deliver like everything. And they're just like really devoted to it. And really, you know, they really put a ton of time into it, a ton of work into it. And when you have that, you kind of see it in their products. They really try to like master their craft. And Oasis is, you know, it's growing. It's about to take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good for the sport. Yep. Yeah, that's
for sure.
I mean, New Jersey made, right? You got to always support that.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, staying on the topic of New Jersey made, you guys are running at Princeton next year, running and studying at Princeton. I mean, just in terms of, like, we saw, like, the, you know, the pole vault success this past NCAAs. But also, like, you know, Sam Ellis, who's there, he's an Atlanta guy. I go to college at Tech, so I'm always hearing about him. Can you guys talk about what went into that decision for continuing your athletic and academic careers down at Princeton? Talk about the recruiting process, anything you guys want.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, what really clicked for us was, like, obviously, like, there's so many great aspects of Princeton, like the academics and the athletics and all that, like staying home. But for me, what really made the difference was, like, the people. And I've, like, never seen a team where, like, so they were so connected and so, like, there was so much synergy, not just between, like, the distance runners, but, like, every single person on the team. Like, we had a team dinner with the entire team. And everybody there knew each other's name. Wow. And, like, everyone, you had, like, pole vaulters hanging out with shot put throwers, hanging out with sprinters, hanging out with distance runners, and everyone was connected. Okay. There was, like, no cliques or anything. I think that kind of, like, contributes to, you know, being fifth at NCAAs indoors and seventh outdoors like they did last year. They just have, like, such a strong team culture, and it's infectious, and, like, everyone at Princeton wants to win. And if you have all those people who want to win, there's going to be a lot of winning. There's going to be a lot of champions. There's going to be a lot of championships. And, like, that mentality, I know you see it in March Madness, like,
yeah,
you know, 15 seed Princeton making the Sweet 16, and their women's team did great as well. But, like, Princeton just has this great culture about it. And that drew me personally.
Yeah, totally. Like, kind of like what Brian was saying, they're kind of proving that, you know, you can be great at academics and athletics, you know, like, why not?
Yeah, pack lore.
Yeah, exactly. Like Brian was saying, I think it was definitely the most, from what our visit, I thought it was, like, most cohesive team, like, I've seen, like, of like, any team, college or high school. And that was, like the biggest draw for me. And then obviously the coaches are amazing. Like Samara, like he's like a legend. And then
Vidge,
of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Morristown, like, guy, right? Morristown?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a Jersey guy too. Yeah. He's got the same mentality.
Vidge is awesome.
He's just proven that he can bring guys to the next level, and he just, like, breeds champions pretty much.
Yeah. And I do want to, like, give a shout out to the other schools we were talking to. Because, like, it was a really, really hard decision, choosing Princeton.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like at the end of the day, we chose Princeton, but also, like, it came down to, like, Princeton, it really came down to, like, Princeton, UVA, and Villanova. Okay. And those were, like, I was also, like, each of those teams, and Georgetown too, they all had, like, really, really great people, and really great, teammates. Obviously Villanova, it's just a bunch of, like, Jersey guys and Irish guys. And it was such a vibe. That was such a fun visit. Yeah. Hanging out with, you know, Marco and, and Jack and, everyone there. They were all super, Sean, like, all those Jersey guys. Everyone, that was super fun. And also UVA was really cool too. All those people, we don't want to, like, diss anybody. Everyone was great. But for us, like, Princeton had that, like, plus one. And that's why we chose it.
Yeah,
that's sick. Looking forward to seeing what you guys doing in Princeton. One of the earlier guests, Fod, he's now graduated from Princeton, but he ran track there. And he was telling me about it, like, 2021, you know. It's awesome program, seems like it. So that's looking forward to your guys' career there.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Yep. It's gonna be fun for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Any specific things off the track you guys are looking forward to there? Just wondering.
Yeah, for sure. we like, I have a lot of like interests, like outside running too. And like Princeton, it just has, it has so many like pathways you can take to explore those interests. I know for me, I'm really into neuroscience and computer science.
Hey, let's go. Same, same.
Yes, sir. See, yes. They have like really great, they have like the best professors in the world. And like, you know, just, they have everything you need to like pursue those interests. And that was really cool for me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, same goes with, like what Brian said. Like, if you want to do something, like the school basically like go out of their way to help you, yeah. Like explore whatever. Yeah, I thought that was amazing. Like Brian's, like the facilities they have for learning are crazy too. Like, not just like amazing professors, but there's like one area we went in, it looked like I was in like Tony Stark's lab or something. But I don't know, just like little stuff like that. I thought was pretty cool.
I think on our visit there was like a computer science class, and they were like coding math that I've like never even seen before. Yeah. And they were like coding it, and I was like, well, what is going on? Wow. They were doing like calculus 9, and I was like, it was just, there's so many smart people and so many cool people.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited to meet them all.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I'm at Georgia Tech down in Atlanta, but Princeton was the first. Wait, what did you say? Sorry, what?
No, keep going. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, Princeton was the first school I visited, 2020. I remember that. I remember doing like a lap on the Princeton track. I was like, and then I visited all the schools, the buildings and everything. But I was like, oh my gosh, I'm running on Princeton's track. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, their track is nice. Yeah. Yeah. They have it in the track too, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there, but I've heard like, that was like the old bubble, I think. Like,
yeah. They used to have all the state championships there. There was like some guy I saw on the records. He ran like a 4.06 there. I forget who it was. I can't remember. But like, some dude ran 4.06 at Jadwin Gym. And, that record's like insane.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, they just said like the outdoor track super cool. Indoor track super cool. Georgia Tech too. We were actually on a visit with a kid. Billy. Billy went to Georgia Tech too.
Did he just commit there?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I don't know if you know Billy.
Yeah, I think I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he's super nice. He was actually on our Princeton visit.
Yeah, I saw my New Balance.
Yeah. He's super cool. So if you run into him, tell him we said what's up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that computer science mention though. I'm doing CCM for now, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I guess just to wrap up a little bit, you know, looking forward to that outdoor season that's coming up. You guys going to practice tomorrow? Like, is it starting
first practice? Yeah, I can't wait.
I think it's like officially spring tomorrow. So it.
It's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. So, you know, what are you guys looking forward to? We talked about that sub-4, just racing to win. Like, any specific things you guys are looking forward to this outdoor season?
Yeah,
I think we're looking ahead. I think our first opener, which is kind of sick. So like this Easter, we like planned a vacation to like pretty much LA, San Diego area, and happened to be like just by coincidence the same weekend as Arcadia, so that's gonna be our opener. So we're gonna be doing like the 3200, I think, there.
That's a historic race. Yeah,
that's the first. Yeah, the first meet on our scope, I guess. But and then other than that, I think like some other cool meets that we're looking forward to is Penn Relays, and then. Hopefully, Lord willing, you know, if we can get invited to Brooks PR, I think that looks like a sick meet too. I think we might want to. There's like a, what was the Trials of Miles that was in like
Missouri? Yeah, there's another there's like we don't have it totally mapped out yet, but we're really excited for like what's gonna happen. It's gonna be fun.
Totally.
We just want to enjoy, you know, have fun, stay healthy, enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Love that mindset. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining this episode. I mean, just so cool. You know, always seeing you guys at meets. Finally cool to
open the curtain,
I guess, a little bit. I saw that takeover on Oasis, or I think, or no.
Yeah,
no, it was cool. It was no, some Instagram account.
It was that was Joshua Granada.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That's fun, yeah.
But that's sick. All right. Thank you guys so much for hopping on today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
For sure. Yeah.